The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
The problem with the internet is that you can't find anything. Yeah, I know Google's there and you probably got your favorite search engine, but when you're looking for some answers, where are you going to go? Yeah, you can type in a question. Well, that's not the answer I was looking for. That answer sucked. And how am I going to find this stuff? Well, there's a company. It's also a Seattle-based company, HelpShare, helpshare.com. And in fact, if you go to helpshare.lockernome.com, we've got our own co-branded, customized version of this. And it's a place on the web where you can go and you can say, I got a question. And this question is worth, let's say, $20 to me if I can find the answer that's going to help me out of the problem. And so you ask the question, you say, here's $20. Whoever answers it gets the money. And that's how it goes. That's HelpShare, and this is a company, as I said, started here in Seattle, T.A. McCann and Adam Loving. And Adam, you might know, well, not by his name, maybe by his name, but by a service that he's also been running for a couple years, lookmarks.com, which apparently predated Delicious.
Well, I'd hesitate to go that far. I definitely didn't know about Delicious when I wrote it, and when I came out of my prototype alpha phase, then I've discovered Delicious, so it's just about the same time.
We'll get into Lookmarks, but I want to tackle HelpShare here. So yeah. Tell me exactly your motivations behind doing HelpShare.
Well, we actually came up with the idea for HelpShare in like 97, 98, where we were running a web development company. And like all of us in sort of development, we're pretty familiar with the newsgroup model, and yet there were all these times when we had to post to like 27 different newsgroups and try and manage all the different posts and try and actually get an answer to a question. And there was one particular instance where a guy who turned out to be in Dallas just took like so much time and gave us just this awesome answer to a question, and we wanted to reward him in some way. So we kind of took these, you know, the idea really came from that interaction of how can we build a really simple way for us to post questions, understand who's going to give us a good answer, and then reward people who do good work. And from there, those are still really the three key tenets of HelpShare, is sort of like make it really easy to use for both the askers and the answerers. Make it so that you can understand credibility, like are they good guys, bad guys, are they likely to pay or not likely to pay, and then most importantly is you got to be able to reward them. And so we built that whole, you know, application way back. You know, we started the company in 99 and kind of have gone from there.
I thought it was funny. Well, not funny that we built a co-branded version for Locker Nomies, but today, something that just happened, I got IM'd by Deborah, who's an active HelpShare user. She sent me the link to LockerGnome HelpShare question, and right. It was like, how do I find the serial number for this particular program? And the guy asked the question. It was not exactly, you know, legal to ask that, but then she, I guess, did a follow-up and said, you can't do that. I don't think you're supposed to ask that kind of question there. And he ended up paying her.
Right.
Is that an anomaly? I mean, do people who are silly enough to ask, hey, can I find a serial number, and someone answers the question, they actually pay them? Is that normal?
Well, I'd say that the, you know, HelpShare generally questions fall into sort of three main categories. One is sort of like paid search. Like, I know it's out there, but I just don't have time to go and find it. Or I want the answer to be kind of captured forever for me in my own personal knowledge base. So a lot of people do sort of just paid search. Go find me this information. Then there's a whole bunch of people who actually are asking questions, right, that a real human needs to read and infer and then go and answer for them. And I think the most probably the exciting part about HelpShare sort of for the future is there's a lot of project-based stuff. So people are saying, I need a piece of code written. I need some code debugged. I want an application prototyped. I want this sort of project done for me. And, you know, the cool thing is all those questions can kind of sit together. You know, that said, there's obviously, we're just providing a marketplace for people to exchange information. Sometimes there's great questions, and sometimes there's kind of wacky questions like you sort of came up with there. But if we do a good job of sort of blending that credibility, cash, and ease of use, then generally those questions are pretty much minimized.
Right, right. And we put a lot of thought into things like the asker rating. So in this case, I mean, even if the question's stupid, then he's paying, you know, paying the answers will help his rating, so it maintains his credibility even if he doesn't get any answers. So who knows what his motivation is, but
it's like a forum, only people get paid for the answers.
Yeah. I come completely from the development end, and I'm the answerer. Well, both perspective, actually. I mean, you know, I wouldn't spend much time before I met these guys in question and answer forum.
Here, wait. Here, could you move? You're breathing into the mic, dude. It's okay. Keep talking. You just have a huge nose. It's like taking up all your face, so that's the problem. Sorry, TA. Okay, I think we can still hear you. Anyway, continue, Adam. I apologize.
My point was, as a professional developer, money is where it gets interesting for me. When I'm posting a question, I'm willing to pay $10, $15, $20 for someone to go get the answer. I don't have the time to dig through a whole bunch of other news groups and try and find stuff. And conversely, when I've got the right answer, it's not worth it necessarily all the time for me to post it, unless I think, I might get paid, or I'm building this personal knowledge base that Jay was talking about.
It totally makes sense. So you've got a structure that benefits both the person who needs help and the person who's willing to give help,
right?
In so many ways.
And we try to balance both sides of that coin, right? And yet, as you say, both people are getting value, and it's got to be easy for both. Right? I mean, one of the challenges for people who do have a lot of information to share is like they spend all their time looking for which posts they can respond to. With HelpShare, you just sign up for expert alerts, say you're willing to take hard questions in one category and easy questions in another one, and boom, you just get an email alert that it's coming right into sort of alert you to this question you might want answered.
Now, what kind of feedback do you guys get on a regular basis from your community or the community in general? If anything at all. I mean, I'm assuming you guys
honestly,
get feedback.
Honestly, we want a lot more. It's really fun watching people use the site in different ways, within the sort of...
I'm looking for naked pictures of Pamela Anderson.
And just within the framework of what we've given, people can be posting... they might actually post the problem description off on their website and then say, here's a full detail of the problem, and I'm just using HelpShare to reach the answerers. Go off and look at my website for the full problem or what have you. As lead developer, I'm really interested in helping that interaction work even smoother. We've got things like attachments on our sort of roadmap, things we want to add.
You're also going to do an affiliate program.
Exactly.
So explain that to everybody, how that's going to work.
Well, the affiliate program is actually up. So
it is.
If you go to helpshare.com and go onto the corporate pages, the About Us, you'll see there's an affiliate link. Or anybody who's a user in HelpShare, if you go to the My Account page, you'll see an affiliate link for you there. And basically you can place either buttons on your site or whatever, and questions that originate from your site, you're going to get a referral fee for that particular thing. So what's cool about that is for those guys who are great LockerGnome users, got their small sites out there that are talking about every sort of niche thing in technology, people are always asking them questions. Now you just say, hey, go to my site and ask them the question there.
Yep.
And either I can answer it or the rest of the community can answer it. So the affiliate program is sort of up and running now. And, we're actually planning on a lot more sort of extensions in that direction to make sort of the connection between the central marketplace of questions and answers much more connected with sort of, I'll call it, small and highly focused sort of sites, blogs as well.
Well, there are a lot of people asking questions. And I got to the point where, I wasn't sick of getting questions, but it seemed that I was answering them more often than not. I'm like, I'm spinning my wheels here. I'm helping everybody else, and I'm not helping myself.
Well, one of the cool things about HelpShare is that assume that, like, usually you're a typical kind of person in a lot of forums or news groups where everybody always wants to ask you the question.
Mm-hmm.
That person gets over, barraged with all the questions. But you know what? The question that you asked got asked on Monday is the same question that gets asked on Thursday. And the guy who you answered on Monday within HelpShare can answer the guy who asked it on Thursday. So effectively, the top answerers can spend their time on sort of the new, most difficult questions. The community as a whole can help out the other guys, and everybody can make money along the way.
Do you have any success stories in the sense that I quit my job because I, was in HelpShare and just lived in this?
I was hoping that would be my success story.
It didn't happen.
Not quite yet. We're getting there.
Go ahead.
We do have a user on the site, Computer Doctor. I think he's in Brazil or something like that, who is, working from home and answering questions all day long. It's amazing. One of the things I love about the site, for $5, $10, you're getting answers within half an hour, an hour. There's people all over the world watching those forums, and your money goes a long way. We've got users in, India and Russia and all over the place.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when you think that maybe for us who are in the U.S., like asking a question that's like $10 for us, that's a lot of money for some guy who's overseas somewhere, and so you get a lot of attraction, especially in sort of the technical programming, sort of that project-based category we saw. And we actually do have mappings of sort of a lot of the IP addresses, and you'd look at a lot of technical questions that originate in the U.S. and are getting answered in Russia, India, or China, which isn't really that surprising, but yet the transfer of money in this sort of global knowledge marketplace is pretty cool to kind of watch.
Now, speaking of, we have a question from the chat room. Actually, it's a series of questions. One, how do the payments work? Two, do you escrow the monies when the question is posted? And three, any guarantee of payments? So how do the payments work?
So the payments work, I'll answer the escrow part first.
Oh, okay. I guess
so. So basically HelpShare has an entire banking system or financial system in the back end. All users have an account, and that account can be increased with either credit card or PayPal, and it can be, then you can transfer the money to people who are answering your questions, and then we can send money back to you for people who've done the work via PayPal or a check. And the way that the transfer works is the asker is always in control of the question. So you can ask your question and say, hey, it's worth $30 to me, and you might only get $15 worth of value. So you'll reward appropriately based on your level of satisfaction. And the guarantee of payment aspect is, again, the rating system is very important here. So if a guy asks a $30 question and he has a low rating as an asker, then you got to kind of, as an answer, you got to kind of think, how likely am I going to get paid? So a lot of times what good answerers will do is they'll sort of give two-thirds of the question or two-thirds of the answer, and then they'll get, sort of going and get some reward. So you can kind of work back and forth in the system. But in most cases, the asker, the only reason they're there is because they are willing to pay. They do want to get an answer to their question, and they're not really trying to game the system. And if they were to come and ask a second question where they hadn't paid people, their rating is going to be very low, right? So you're unlikely to want to get the good answers to work with you.
So it's almost like an eBay, the rating system.
Yeah.
If you're not eBay in terms of auctioning, but eBay in terms of the way they manage
credibility.
That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people sort of call HelpShare an eBay for information.
Yeah, in many ways it is. Yeah. I mean, it's an open exchange of information, as you said. So you can have a question asked, and you can have multiple people answering the question.
Yep. And you can pay one or more of them, more or less than you said you were going to pay, and the rating systems keep everybody honest. So that's another cool thing, is you can sort of say, great, now I got two or three perspectives all on the same thing, and the third guy actually built on the second guy and the first guy's answer, and yet everybody delivered value. So you can reward all of them if you want to.
Do you think that with the glut of forums out there, you're going to have too much of a challenge, or a tremendous challenge lying ahead in terms of adoption? Because you're going to be almost only as strong as the amount of people asking questions. Because you may have a lot of answerers out there, but if nobody's asking questions.
Yeah. Well, what we've started to see is even on sites like Tech Republic, that they've started to blend what they call Q&A with forums, right? For the same reason that Locker Gnome's doing it, right? Mm-hmm. You guys have really active forums, but there's a certain set of questions which are, let's call it, more valuable, or you need the answer faster and you're willing to pay for it, and that's where HelpShare is going to fit in. So in the medium term or short term, I think they're going to coexist. Over time, it's our job to make the HelpShare interaction more efficient, easier to post, faster, higher quality answers, and in that case, generally people are going to be willing to trade a small amount of money for what today are free questions. And I think our distribution model is interesting. I mean, our whole plan is really to do lots of HelpShare.locker or Gnome.com sort of sites and embed the application where people already are.
HelpShare is a part of a larger company, or does it stand alone?
Standalone company.
Okay. But you are a venture capitalist, or you work for a venture firm.
That's right.
Are you a typical venture capitalist?
Well, I'm not. I work with a firm.
If there can be something defined as a typical venture capitalist.
Well, my role at Polaris Venture Partners is an entrepreneur in residence. So my job was to basically go there and start a new company or restart a company I already had, which is what we're doing with HelpShare.
Oh, okay.
So I play a little bit of venture capitalist during the day, looking at new deals. So if the guys who are out there got something interesting, you can certainly send it to me at TAM@HelpShare. But also, and I sort of screened some of that stuff for Polaris, but really what I do at Polaris has been afforded the opportunity to focus my effort on HelpShare.
It's a small, big project, if you will, in the grander scheme of things.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Now, before Polaris, you were working for Microsoft?
That's right. I worked at Microsoft for 3 years running product planning, business development for Exchange. So I was kind of one of the guys behind Exchange 2003 and spent way too much time looking at way too much mail.
So do you still operate in an Exchange environment?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And
so you still eat the dog food?
Still eat the dog food, and actually my co-founder, who's my brother, is actually on the Exchange team now, and he's in charge of all the Exchange web services. So, you know, they're still giving me a little bit of McCann in the next version of Exchange as well. So we keep that product pretty close at hand. And, you know, and strangely, you know, HelpShare is really a communication mechanism, just a slightly different one, right, than an email server is.
What does Polaris tend to focus on in terms of the companies that they invest in?
Polaris is about 60% IT and technology and then 40% healthcare or biotech. And, you know, within the IT sector, it's probably a reasonable blend between enterprise software sort of stuff and starting to do a lot more consumer consumer internet service sort of things.
Like and, what?
Like we just invested in a company called Heavy.com, which maybe some of your guys will know about, which is sort of an online content site, you know, out of New York, and they've got some really interesting sort of ways they've dealt with content, sort of hitting at this demographic. And we just invested in a company called that's all focused on niche sports. That's like, for example, like people like watching swimming during the Olympics, but then there's no swimming on TV any other time. So they're focused on a lot of different smaller sports like that as people get broadband and want bigger sort of attraction. So those are two sort of consumer internet-y sort of things.
Internet-y.
Yeah.
Internet-ish.
Yeah.
Someone just went off to check for internet-y.com.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. If it's not already taken there. Yeah. Now, Adam, you do a project independent of this. Bookmarks.
Right, yeah.
And this would be considered social bookmarking or beyond?
Exactly. Social bookmarking. Very similar to Delicious if you're familiar with it. And it grew out of a desire that I had for better bookmarks. I wanted to be able to store my bookmarks on the web so I could access them from anywhere. And I was getting into blogging, but I found that a lot of the things that I wanted to blog were really just bookmarks. So it kind of grew out of a desire to tag and organize and store them on the web.
Reblog. Now, have you had a chance to enhance bookmarks after seeing what Delicious is doing to conform to what Delicious does?
Well, I guess I kind of wanted to go in a different direction, really, in that I saw Delicious going in a highly technical direction. And they're doing wonderful things with their API, but I wanted to build a service that my mom and my wife could use. And that's a different audience.
Yeah.
And I've been quite successful at making my mom and my wife happy. So, you know, that's good. My mom's a science teacher, and she collects millions upon millions of science-related links. And so the tagging is slightly different in that it's less of a focus. It's a search that you can recreate later rather than an organizational type of, you know, tag club like you might see elsewhere. And then my wife uses it primarily for shopping or recording, you know, excellent things that she's found in remote places of the web. And then for a way that we can collaborate, and TA and I collaborate using Lookmarks as well.
How do you collaborate over that?
So we'd pick a tag, HelpShare or Chandelier. And I can watch
Chandelier.
He didn't say Chandelier, did he?
Yeah,
oh,
he did.
No. I said not to talk about Chandelier.
Oh.
TA has a fascination with chandeliers like you wouldn't believe.
Apparently. A fetish, if you will.
No, my wife is an amazing, amazingly detailed, she should be an interior decorator in another life. She's not in this, but anyway, that's another story.
Well, then I've got to introduce her to Ponzi because the other room, Ponzi totally did that one up.
I'm sure they would hit it off. Yeah, she's done a beautiful job. So my point is, if we're looking for chandeliers or we're looking for a kitchen table, she can shop all night long and lookmark them as she goes, and then I can get on and lookmark a few of my own, and then we'll go back and search on Chandelier, and we'll be able to compare our notes right there in a list of what we've both been shopping for separately. Or I can search on, you know, HelpShare API and see what ideas TA is finding. And, yeah, it works perfectly.
Okay, so HelpShare API, then. Is this the Chandelier project, I'm assuming? The code name Chandelier. So you've got an API for HelpShare.
We don't have one yet.
Oh.
We've got the RSS feeds that we just launched when we launched the Locker Gnome site.
Yep.
But this is the first baby step in the direction of a full-blown API. My vision for HelpShare is to make it a community platform. We want to give other developers access to these fantastic experts that we've got, give other developers ways to monetize their applications by sending questions into HelpShare, and then really serve our questions and askers who are bloggers as well. I'd love to post a question on HelpShare or rather on my blog and have it, miraculously sucked into HelpShare or vice versa. My good answers from HelpShare, I'd like to cross-post those back to my
blog. So almost like what Edgio is doing with listings.
That's one of the scenarios I've been thinking pretty hard about.
Which works, by the way. I did it. And I don't know if it was because of Edgio, but I ended up selling what I was trying to sell.
Yeah, it led to something, huh? Well, so my spin on that would be to do the similar thing with HelpShare. We call it the HelpShare Question Collector. So you seem like you might have sort of a blog-centric view of the world.
I'm still trying to understand what a blog is. Could you explain it to me? I just don't know blog.
I'm a horrible...
Is it an alien thing?
I don't know what blogger is, but I think I'm a really bad one.
Aren't we all?
So I think that means that it incorporates more writing than I usually do.
You do more bookmarking or lookmarking.
Yeah, collecting of ideas and remixing ideas is sort of my passion. So, but I'd like to, when I've got a question, post it to my blog as my first destination with that question. And this is sort of my vision, is be able to tag it with the category or tag question, and then implement a HelpShare aggregator similar to Edge.io, which is grabbing the blogs of HelpShare members and automatically posting that into HelpShare. And then to sort of complete the cycle, hack away so that the answers could be either sent back to my blog as trackbacks, or the best thing would be comments. So I've put up a wiki on JotSpot and blogged about this on the HelpShare blog, but I've put together a sketch for the vision for the HelpShare API, and I'm looking for feedback on how we can hack this out.
So you're pretty impressed with Edgio's implementation?
I really like the concept. I'm kind
super
of,
simplistic.
Yeah. I don't think that there's really, besides, getting overloaded by spam, I don't think there's really anything wrong with the idea. I don't know that people will turn to Edge.io as a source for information. I think I'd much more likely to go to Technorati or something like that as sort of where to go and search for things.
Well, it depends on, if it was something that, okay, for instance, I needed to sell my Xbox because I just don't need them anymore. I mean, the old one, I don't need it anymore. I still need my 360s. Get your hands off. But I wanted to post it, so I posted it one in my blog, mm-hmm. and I knew I'd get reaction. I posted another one in Craigslist, and I did not get a reaction in Craigslist. And then I posted and then I linked to Edgio, and then I've gotten I think three responses just in the past day or so. So I mean, I ended up selling it to the first person who I actually knew in real life, and I didn't know he wanted an Xbox, but
right.
The fact that I could do it from my blog primarily, great. And then it pushed the information specifically for sale information up to Edgio, and then I was done.
Right.
That's sort of the vision we have for questions and answers on HelpShare, right? With the API.
Yeah, and additionally, you're building value on your blog.
But it's not so much. See, this is the some people would say that RSS, and I remember reading this, and I've kind of adopted the quote: RSS is poor man's API. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In many ways, the way Edgio has done the listing scenario, it's almost like they made tagging poor man's API, in the sense that I tag it listing, it's done. I have no questions asked. I don't have to worry about it. It's just automatically sucked in, and it just works. So when you say API, I mean you're opening it up to the general populace of developers, but are you also thinking about how to make it so simple that you just tag it to something, or you make it so simple that the user just knows they just have to place a link to this little thing and then they're done?
Well, if you think about the question collector that Adam mentioned is sort of an extension of the affiliate work that we're doing already, right? So it says, okay, let's make affiliates easy. Now let's make the affiliate thing more functional. And as the question collector, that would be easy, right? All you do is tag it with a question, or you tag it with a question with a reward. Boom, done. Posted and cross-posted. But I think, you know, I actually posted a question today on HelpShare about the both the API as well as good ideas, right? We're willing to pay for those good ideas.
Oh, of course.
So those two questions are up on HelpShare right now.
See, I'm never short of ideas. I'm just short of the developers to actually implement the ideas. That's what always holds me back.
That's what we're looking to use HelpShare to do. I mean,
just like, here's what I want to do, something like this. Here's $300. Go do it.
Right.
Well, Adam built the little Locker Gnome plugin for the Google Toolbar.
It's for what, $50 or something? What was it? It was something insane.
I hope I did less than that.
It was like 30
it only
or
took him a half an hour. Before
I know.
He had
it's just like,
answer,
oh my god. No, I mean, like,
I overpaid if it was fifty bucks.
No, I can't remember it. I'm like, I think it, I saw it. And I was like, this is an insane number. I could have done this. It's like, it's no programming at all. I did it for gotta be in like 2 seconds.
I know,
like no time flat.
I wanted one quick. So
well, and then it worked. You know, so yeah. Someone actually put it together for you, and then you were able to implement it.
Yeah.
For the Google Toolbar. Yeah.
So there's a couple other real simple use cases that I'm also looking for feedback on. One is that we'll probably do, because it seems obvious to me, is to add blog list buttons to every question and answer on HelpShare. And the last one is, you know, what might be called the full-fledged API is we need a way for developers to programmatically add questions to HelpShare and add answers. And so what I've looked at in some depth is implementing the Meta Weblog API. Because a question itself is not that much different from a blog post,
right?
But I do have things like the reward and
you know, that's what I see. That's the genius. It's like the reward. That's what it's all about. I'm sorry, I hate to say it. I hate to sound like a capitalist pig, but man, if I'm throwing information out there, I want to be rewarded for it in some way, or just compensated in some way, right, other than the satisfaction of knowing that I helped a fellow human being. Yes, knowledge is worth something.
Right.
Beyond all that. Now, you know, in embracing the Meta Weblog API, what about kind of taking a step sideways? So Lockernum currently has its set of forms that it's running in InVision right now.
Mm-hmm.
What about some kind of module that would allow that kind of crossover to happen?
Well, I mean, we need to define a standard in between the two. So if what was the name of the forum software?
InVision.
InVision.
I
so believe. If InVision could invent something that said it would blog this type of button, which is the, like they've got on Dig. I was trying that out last night or what have you. That's a pretty good standard. And then HelpShare implements the web Meta Weblog API so it can receive the post. Then we can interoperate with anything, really. So I think the nice thing about the Meta Weblog API is the definition of a post is kind of a derivative of the RSS standard. So your individual item posting is already kind of an easy standard for people to code against. So we would, as our part of the equation, implement the Meta Weblog API, and then if that forum software had a way to post to that API, then we'd be set. And it's the same thing that people are doing with WordPress add-ins to do cross-posting between blogs and everything mm-hmm. like that. So, and I think that would be pretty unique. I haven't seen any other forum or, you know, question and answer site that's thinking in those terms, but that's reflects our philosophy. I mean, the answerer should own their answers and or share their answers with us. And, you know, and the same thing that we're doing with partnerships and affiliates, you know, we really want to be a platform for this information.
The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, you get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and more. Plus, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1, that's CHRIS, and the number 1 when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.